Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. We're back. It's 13 after the hour, and I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as promised, our special guest is Dr. Gary Schilling. He's the president of A. Gary Schilling & Company, Incorporated, an economic consulting company. They specialize in investment strategies. Gary is well known for his forecasting record. He's been twice ranked as Wall Street's top economist by Institutional Investors, poll of financial institutions. Futures magazine ranked him the country's number one commodities trading advisor in 93, even though he's not a commodity broker. He holds an AB from Amherst College and a PhD from Stanford University. He's written several books. I also know that he's a regular columnist for Forbes magazine and other publications. Dr. Gary Schilling, welcome to the show.
Well, delighted to be with you.
It's good to have you here, and I'll tell you, the subject of your new book, Deflation, is very timely, and one of the things that my audience knows is that several months ago, when I started reading about what was happening in the Asian, in the Pacific Rim over there, and some of the things that were happening, I started hearing Greenspan using the word deflation, and I heard Rubin, Secretary Rubin, use the word deflation, and I saw some other things that were going on. My antenna started perking up a little bit for this term, and when I saw your book, the availability of your book, Deflation, in fact, I think where I saw you is, I remember, you had an article in the Wall Street Journal, as I remember.
Yeah, that's right. Had op-ed page piece which really discussed this whole concept of deflation, and I must say we've been very lucky on the timing of the publication of the book. Published it just in June, and the events that have been unfolding globally with commodity prices hitting new lows and the turmoil in Asia spreading to Russia and Latin America. It's just dumb luck, but I'll take it. The timing worked out beautifully.
No kidding. But one of the things I want to point out, though, folks, is that even though, you know, Gary says it's dumb luck, it's not really dumb luck. And the reason I say this is Gary Schilling has been talking about the concept of deflation as a dynamic opposed to inflation. I guess maybe that's not the right way to say it, but that's the way I think of it, Gary. But you've been doing this for a long time, and in fact, your first publication came out in 83 talking about this concept, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Published a book then, title was Is Inflation Ending? Are You Ready? And my answer to the first question was yes, it was ending, but the answer to the second one was no, you're not ready, because you're geared with your portfolio, your business, for inflation lasting forever.
Right.
That was the 1970s when inflation made real estate, coins, antiques, artwork, all these things tremendously attractive and successful. And anything to do with stocks and bonds were absolute disasters. And we were saying that was going to absolutely reverse. And of course, it did, as inflation unwound from double digits to now essentially zero.
Right.
Published a couple of more books in the meanwhile, but this one, Deflation, is really in effect saying now we're crossing the line. We're no longer simply unwinding inflation, going back to no price changes on balance. We're going negative. We're going to see declines in prices for on a consistent basis, widespread basis, for probably the next 5 or 10 years.
You know, before we get into deflation, I want to spend a little more time on inflation, because I think in order to understand where we're going, I think we need to see where we've been. And one of the things that I like to remind people, especially young people, Gary, is that when I was a very young man and had a young family back in the 70s, late 60s and 70s, you know, saving was out of the question. And if you're ever going to have anything, you just about had to borrow the money to buy it, because if you saved for it, inflation would always keep it out of your reach, and it developed. There was a whole generation that developed that culture, wasn't it?
Well, that's true, and of course, what money people did say, they tended to put into the classic inflation hedges, real estate being the biggest one and the one that had the widest acceptance. And, you know, you saw in the late 60s and 70s with raging inflation, people buying houses, bigger, more expensive houses than they needed, simply to get involved in the inflation bandwagon. And, of course, it worked beautifully as long as inflation was soaring.
Exactly. A classic example of that was a situation in my case. I came out of the Army with $200 in my pocket. I wanted to buy a house. I needed $2,600 down to pay down on the house. I only had $200, literally. Mm-hmm. And I went into the bank and borrowed $2,400 to put with my $200. So I borrowed almost 100% of the value of that house. And a friend of mine had just come back from graduate school, was in the same situation. He said, "I'm not going to borrow my down payment. I'm going to save my down payment." Well, 5 years later, I sold my house and made $10,000. He had just saved enough money for the down payment on his first house.
Right. Yeah.
In 5 years, I was $10,000 ahead of him.
Right.
And so for a while, he was always a house behind me, so to speak. That's what happened in the 70s. That's not the case today, though, is it?
No, and of course, one of the things that comes out of this, that principle that I think we will be exploring in many contexts in the course of this visit together, is this idea of knowing when to get in and when to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I hope this wasn't the case of you, Jim, but some people who had that early success by borrowing heavily, leveraging themselves to the hilt in real estate, didn't know when the game was over. And that's the people I was addressing in this first book and saying, "Hey, guys, you know, it's been a wonderful run, but watch it." And a lot of those people ended up really getting hammered when house prices collapsed and as inflation unwound, because they had so much leverage.
Right. Well, part of the problem, too, was public policy contributed to that, and that was the tax issues.
Well, that's true. There was a huge encouragement with the Tax Act in 1981
for investment
on real estate and for investment purposes, and then 86. Well, they started in 82 taking away what was called safe harbor leasing, and then 86 they really changed the rules. But,
well, they tightened up the at-risk provisions and finally did away with the at-risk provisions, basically.
But it was cruising for a bruising anyway. It was so far out of hand.
No question. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. It's 20 after the hour. We're visiting with our new friend Gary Schilling, the author of Deflation, Why It's Coming, Whether It's Good or Bad, and How It Will Affect Your Life. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, folks. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our special guest and our new friend, Dr. Gary Schilling. He's the president of A. Gary Schilling & Company. They're economic consultants and investment strategists. Gary has a new book out called Deflation, Why It's Coming, Whether It's Good or Bad. It's an excellent book, folks. If you're wondering why we're talking about this, ladies and gentlemen, if you thought inflation affects your life and your business, then deflation will affect your life and your business, and you need to pay attention to these issues. You're going to be hearing more and more about this, and I wanted to introduce you to someone who could help all of us understand better where things are going with regard to prices and the value of goods and services. And the gentleman we're talking with right now, Gary Schilling, has taken the long view on this. I mean, he started predicting the end of inflation and the advent of deflation potentially back in 83. So this is not some knee-jerk book that the new book he has out is not some knee-jerk reaction to something that's happened recently. This man has backed up and taken the long view. And Gary, by the way, let's before we go any further, tell our audience how they can get your book.
Yeah, well, the title is Deflation, and it's available through Amazon.com if you want to get it through the internet. It's available through bookstores, Barnes and Noble. Or you can order it directly from the publisher, and there's a toll-free number, 888-346-7444. 888-346-7444, if somebody wants to just call the publisher and get it directly.
Right. Folks,
and it's $16.
Yeah.
And it's deflation priced.
Yeah, it used to be 19, right?
No, we really wanted to get the word around. We're not our business is not really writing books. It's managing money and economic consulting. But when we get an idea like this, we kind of like to let people know about it. So we want to put out a book and secondly, make it relatively inexpensive.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's worth the $16 price tag. What I wanted to say about it, though, folks, is that there's a lot of information in here that when you look through the book, you're going to see a lot of tables, a lot of charts. And if you're not savvy in these ways, if you're not used to reading these things, you might be a little intimidated. But what I want to point out to you is the narrative of this book is written in layman's terms. Gary, I want to congratulate you on that.
Well, thanks.
Gary's a regular guy. We've spoken on the phone several times. The way he's written this book is very user-friendly. The average person out there who's not used to reading about a lot of financial mumbo-jumbo can understand how all of this works, and the book is very well written. And Gary, I want to thank you for that.
Well, and I must say, I'm in league with our listeners. I run a small business myself. I was the chief economist of Merrill Lynch many years ago, and elsewhere on Wall Street. And 20 years ago, set up my own firm. So we're in the same boat.
Absolutely, Gary. What back in '83? Now, it's taken a long time for this to get here. Back in 83, what made you predict the end of inflation?
I actually started talking about it in the late 70s and finally got around to writing this book in 82, published in 83. But it was fundamentally a shift against government on the part of voters. Government is a primary cause of inflation. It's the only sector of the economy that can consistently spend more than its revenues because the paper it issues, the government bonds, are acceptable. Real estate can't do that.
I call government the artificial economy.
Well, it is in a way. I mean, real estate, if people get carried away with real estate, hey, reality catches up with them and it collapses. But government has enough credibility it can keep spending. And what happened was that after Great Society programs that didn't work in Vietnam, which was a thoroughly discredited venture and so on, people really turned their view against government, and that was the primary reason we believed that inflation was on the way out.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you say, and as you know, it's been declining ever since.
Yeah, and of course, I'm stating the obvious, but in inflation, demand exceeds supply, and to say government's the only sector that can consistently spend more than it takes in and create that excess demand. And deflation is just the reverse. It's supply exceeding demand, and for a number of reasons we'll talk about, that's the case now.
Exactly. Let's get into, and we've just got less than a minute right now before our next break, but what would be a fairly short deflationary force that you see?
Well, you've got the end of the Cold War, cutbacks in government spending and removing these inflationary elements. You've got restructuring, which is going on in English-speaking countries, spreading elsewhere, cutting costs, promoting productivity. You got mass distribution, the Walmarts of the world, Internet.
We're going to take a break, Gary. I want to flesh out some of these forces when we come back. Right after these messages, folks, it's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Gary Schilling, the author of Deflation. All right, welcome back, heroes. 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our new friend and our special guest, A. Gary Schilling. Dr. Schilling is the president of A. Gary Schilling and Company Incorporated, an economic consulting and investment strategy firm out of New Jersey. And his new book called Deflation is an excellent book that I recommend to you. Folks, if you're trying to see where things are going, this is a book that you need to have on your desk to check out. And one of the things, Gary, that I want to talk about, I want to get back into something that we spent a minute or so on the last segment, and that is the deflationary forces that you list in your book. And one of the things you talked about was the end of the Cold War. You know, the peace dividend that we accrued to us as a result of the end of the Cold War has contributed to deflation, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely, because among other reasons, you and I don't drive tanks.
That's right.
I mean, we pay people to build tanks, but in effect, they're getting the income, but they have no good or service that they can buy. And unless government taxes away the equivalent of their income, which seldom is the case in military buildups, it means you got more purchasing power than you got goods to buy. It's inflationary. Yeah. You take it away, and you got the reverse.
You know, a classic thing that I see whenever I've gone to the Washington, D.C. area, I've had people say, you know, why is this economy so strong here? And it's because the government's there. It's an artificial economy.
Yeah, no question of that. The government really has no control. You know, there's no bottom line in government. It's
right.
it's building empires. There's no profit motive.
They don't have an operating statement. They have a budget.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, talk about efficiency in government. That's like talking about airline food, congressional ethics, military intelligence. I mean, all these are non sequiturs.
That's
beloved mothers-in-law.
You know, the first time that I really developed a perspective on all that was I was in college and I wrote a paper on what was going to happen to the economy after the Vietnam War was over, and basically my conclusion was that we would have a recession, which is what we had.
Right.
Because how are we going to redirect all that spending?
Yeah. But there are a number of other forces that are deflationary. I mean, deregulation, which we're seeing in the electric distribution area now, and in international airlines, that's deflationary. The technology that is coming along, telecommunications, computers, microchips, biotechnology. I mean, tremendous deflationary as it cuts costs. You look at the rate at which computer power per buck goes up, and computer prices go down.
Well, yeah, you know, that's a classic example of deflation, of deflationary trends. If people that the small business owners are faced with every day, and that's the fact that the computer you bought 3 months ago is now worthless. But the good news is the one from a standpoint of resale value, but from a standpoint of the good news is that the next computer you're gonna buy is gonna cost you less than the last one.
Oh yeah, particularly when you look at the bang per buck in terms of computer power.
Yeah.
But you also have the outsourcing. You know, today capital and technology are free to roam the world looking for the most cost-effective sites of production. And whether that's the border plants in Mexico or elsewhere in Latin America, Asia, Eastern Europe now, you have that. That's very deflationary. And, of course, the spreading of market economies. Now you've got China, which is a bunch of buccaneer capitalists as opposed to the old communist regime. And the same is true in the former Soviet Empire.
Yeah.
So what you're really doing is tremendously increasing the supply of goods and services around the world. And supply is outrunning demand. And that's what deflation is all about.
Right. What do you think is going to be some of the next things that we'll be seeing from a deflationary standpoint?
Well, the next event, and I list 14 deflationary forces in the book, and the only one that's yet to fall in place, and by the way, the Asian meltdown and the spreading of that to Russia and now Latin America is certainly one of those 14, mm-hmm. but the only one yet to happen is U.S. consumers. Consumers have been borrowing and spending like drunken sailors for 20 years, and one of the reasons that they are doing so is because their stock portfolios have been appreciating to the point they don't need to save.
Well, one of the things that I've been saying on the show is that you can actually develop a little window on your computer screen, on your default screen, that will track all of your values, of the values of your stocks, and will give you a bottom line net worth of or net profit on all your stock portfolio. And so I think what a lot of Americans have been doing, they've been flipping on the computer. They when it went up to 9,300, they saw what they were worth, and they said, wow, I can afford to go buy something.
Well, that's exactly right. So they say, hey, I don't need to save out of my current income because this stock portfolio will put the kids through college. I can retire early. I can support big spending.
And then they hear somebody, in the meantime, simultaneous with that, they hear somebody say that they think it's going to go to 10,000 this year.
Yeah. But if we're right, we think that the effects of Asia are going to squeeze corporate profits because of the flood of imports at lower prices, which forces everybody who competes with those imports to lower their prices. Weaker exports because with the currency collapse, the economy collapse in Asia and Russia and Latin America, they can't buy anything, including our exports.
Right.
This, we think, is going to squeeze profits, and at the levels the stocks are still at, we're going to see further sell-off, and that sell-off is going to destroy this portfolio appreciation that people have been counting on and force them to save. And if that's right, if we see the borrowing and spending binge turn to a saving spree on consumers, then this guarantees deflation because American consumers buy 20% of everything produced in the world.
Yeah. Stand by, Gary. We're going to have to take a break. Folks, we're going to be right back and talk more about deflation with our guest, special guest, and our new friend, Gary Schilling. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our new friend, Gary Schilling. He's the president of A. Gary Schilling & Company, economic consultants and investment strategist. He's the author of his fourth book, and not the first one, on the concept of deflation. And that's the name of the book. It's called Deflation, Why It's Coming, Whether It's Good or Bad, and How It Will Affect Your Investments, Business, and Personal Affairs. Gary, one of the things we were talking about when we took our last break, and by the way, folks, if you'd like to join us, the number is 888-822-8255. 888-822-8255. Gary, one of the things you were talking about was the thing that has not happened yet to really make this deflationary trend have the critical mass that it probably, I'm not going to say that it needs, but that it could have, and that is the consumer, the American consumer's participation.
Exactly. This is the last of 14 deflationary elements that I list in this new book titled Deflation, and it's the only one that's yet to fall into place. But if we're right that American consumers ultimately see with a sell-off in stocks of 30 to 50% from their peak, and we're now down about 15%, but if they see enough of their appreciation in stocks wiped out, and I think they will, then they're going to save, because there's a lot of incentives to save. People need to save for retirement, the post-war babies. They don't trust Social Security. Their houses are no longer appreciating, providing home equity build-up. Huge number of reasons for saving, and people have been avoiding these because they have made so much money in stocks. But
well,
to save, that means they won't be spending.
But we came right out of inflationary times when it made no sense to save.
Well, that's right.
And right into a time when it made more sense to invest.
Absolutely, and deflation is it's a self-feeding affair.
Yeah.
But the point is that American consumers are so important. As I mentioned earlier, almost 20% of everything produced in the world is bought by American consumers. So if they really retrench, hey, that absolutely guarantees deflation, and I think that's in the cards.
Well, you know, Gary Matthews, the managing editor of the Kiplinger Letters, is with us every week, Gary, and in their most recent newsletter, they predicted that retail sales would be off a little. They thought that it would be off a little bit for the holiday season.
Well, it's got to have an effect. Now, as I say, I think a lot of people have made so much money in stocks for literally 16 years of bull market that they're not going to give up easily, and they're going to assume that it's only a temporary dip, and, you know, buy dips, even the 87 crash in retrospect look like one. But if we're right, a series of sell-offs and then weak recoveries and so on will disabuse people of that notion, and eventually they'll say, hey, I'm not going to make this back anytime soon. I'm going to have to save more.
Let's talk about good deflation and bad deflation.
Well, yeah, there's a difference. Most people, when you say deflation, they think of the 1930s.
Right.
But that was, first of all, it was caused by financial collapse, the 29 stock market crash, widespread bankruptcies, huge layoffs, and so on. And what happened then was, with the layoffs and cuts in pay, people's income collapsed. So you got the deflation, which is excess of supply over demand, by demand collapsing, but it was a financial crisis that led to it. Now, that's the bad deflation. I don't think we have that. I think we have the good deflation, because I don't see big financial problems in this country. We have the good deflation that we had after the Civil War. That was our greatest growth period, about twice as fast growth as we now have. That's when the Industrial Revolution turned industries like steel and chemicals and farm implements, paper, glass, from cottage industries to factory production, huge increase in supply. The railroads crisscrossed the country, transcontinental railroads. I mean, they weren't raising all those cattle we see in the Western, the Westerns for chuck wagon dinners. They were for Eastern markets, and they couldn't have gotten them there without railroads. So huge increase in supply.
That was a good
deflation.
We saw quantum leaps in productivity.
Absolutely. And the same was true in the 1920s. That was driven by electricity. The nation got wired and by the automobile, which was roads, motels, hotels, the whole thing that went with cars. And that's what I think we've got now. It's a good deflation of excess supply. The East, the Far East, has got the bad deflation, but I think we're going to have the good deflation because we really exported the Industrial Revolution of the rest of the world, and we're now importing the low-cost output.
Well, what do we have to do to make sure that the bad deflation? I mean, you know yourself that even though you say we have good deflation and we're going to be having more good deflation, that could actually go the other way. It could become bad deflation.
Well, it could if we get financial crisis, but I don't think we'll have that. We've had a number of financial problems since the early 80s with the farm sector, then oil, real estate, aerospace declining, which was tough on the east and west coast of this country. But I don't see any really big problems, financial problems, that are going to give way here and give us that financial crisis, which kills demand. I think it's going to be more of the – there's some elements of both. Consumers retrenching certainly is a demand-restricting factor, but I think it's primarily just the globalization of the industrial process and the excess supply that's being created. So, yeah, you could have it if you get some kind of financial crisis, but in the U.S., Canada, and Europe, I don't see that. I think it's really more of the good deflation, but that doesn't mean it's easy.
And that also doesn't mean that there aren't going to be losers in good deflation.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the things that he points out in the book, folks, in his book called Deflation, is there are winners and there are going to be losers, definitely, even with good deflation. And we're going to take a break and talk about more of this when we come right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our guest is Gary Schilling, the author of Deflation. All right, folks, we're back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Gary Schilling, Dr. Gary Schilling, the author of Deflation, Why It's Coming, Whether It's Good or Bad, and it's available, Gary, where?
Well, it's available through Amazon.com, on the Internet. It's available through many bookstores, including Barnes & Noble. Mm-hmm. And if somebody wants it in a hurry or has trouble finding the book otherwise, it's available from the publisher, Lakeview Publishing, and they have a toll-free number, 888-346-7444. Let me repeat that, 888-346-7444, and the book is $16.
Yeah, it's a good deal, folks, and I recommend it to you because I think it's a watershed book, folks. I think it's something that we all need to be looking at. And Gary, folks, I want to tell you that Gary has agreed to join the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. Gary, I want to thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
What that means, folks, is he's going to be back to talk to us more about these issues. So don't worry, we're going to be requiring him some more of his time in the days and the weeks and months to come. Gary, let's talk about, for the couple of minutes we got left, let's talk about some things that small business owners can do to deal with deflation.
Well, in the book, I list 18 elements in a business strategy, but let me just mention one of these very quickly, and that is new technology versus old technology. Old technology, where it doesn't change in form or substance, in deflation, where prices are going to go down, people are going to wait. These are things like airline travel, autos, appliances. They're going to be the same next year as this year, and people are going to say, hey, I'll wait to buy, and that means producers have excess capacity. They got to reduce prices to move the stuff. Suspicions are confirmed, and so prices go down. Those are the things to avoid. You don't want to be in those kinds of businesses. Mm-hmm. The new technologies, though, where they, like computer chips, biotechnology, telecommunications, things where they are expanding rapidly because prices are going down. It's obsolete in a hurry, though. You can't wait to buy. They open vast new markets by lower prices. These are the things that work. And by the way, new technology today are those things. After the Civil War, it was steel, chemicals, glass. In the 20s, it was autos and electricity. It's the same phenomenon, just different industries. But those are the things that I think people should be involved in, because those are the things that are going to see the growth, they're going to drive the economy, and that's where I think there's money to be made. But by the old technologies, hey, in deflation, nobody wants to buy ahead because prices are going to be lower. So, hey, that's not a very good place to be.
If you're invested in an old paradigm, then you might be in trouble with deflation.
Well, that's absolutely true. And, you know, you look like something even like airline travel, and you say, well, hey, if now right now the seats are all full, but if prices are going down, people say, hey, I'll wait to visit my dad. He's in good health. I can wait another 6 months. I'll even get a better deal on on an airline seat.
Which is the opposite of what was happening 20 years ago when we had rampant inflation.
Absolutely. And it's you have to really rethink this. There are many other of these elements which I think you have to watch out for. I mean, one, for example, the prices are going down. You have to go for volume. And you've got to be the low-cost producer and then access inventories when prices are going down. Many of these things are common sense, but they're spelled out in detail in the book, and I think they're useful to look at. And Gary, servicing customers. Well, we'll have a chance to talk about
that. Yeah, we'll talk about this
later.
Some more. I've got to wrap it up for this hour. Gary, thank you very much for being with us. You did a great job today, and I'm looking forward to having you back.
Well, delighted, Jim, and I feel the same.
Thank you, sir. All right, folks, that's Gary Schilling. The book is called Deflation. I recommend it to you. Right now, I got to go. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.